believe, though the going gets rough, that you gotta hang tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have your dream. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Yeah. Bitcoin. Hip joint. Your mom's toin, your mom's loin, pork loin, pork coin, coin floin, Mayweather money, honeysuckle bunnies,
Mayweather money,
fried Twinkies,
why your
sunny.
Haircut looks so funny,
dumb dunny, Bugs Bunny, my nose be run runny in the winter, and I'm some Doug Funny, and Patty Mayonnaise, you fucking gay AIDS. All right, this is the Cap Figure Podcast, episode 42. I don't want to talk about it. Usually I ask you who wore that number in baseball history for number 42, but I'm extremely racist. I'm a big Trump supporter. We're not going to discuss it. No, I'm kidding. I didn't vote for Trump. Who's number 42?
So there's the obvious Jackie Robinson, and then the better player and more well-known. Well, not more well-known. Mariano Rivera. 19 years, wearing 42.
The better player and bigger, he did more for the black community, but just by being good at closing games. Mariano's cutter did more for the black community than Jackie Robinson could ever do, I'm telling you, Mike.
Yeah, too bad he's not black.
Yeah, but I'm saying the cutter gave hope to so many black people every day. I know Mariano's not black. Tell me. His skills did more. Jackie Robinson, sure, he broke the color barrier. He accepted, all this hated him. He had to go in the colored room. Mariano's cutter is a gift from God. Okay. Yankees winning championships helps more.
Sure.
I was just being an ignorant white guy joking. All right, so this is the Cap Figure Podcast. I'm Ryan DiPaolo. Who are you?
Tom McLaughlin.
Okay, that's great.
Yes.
Great!
Hello.
That's like Sven, this kid, this transfer student when I was living in Chinatown. He was visiting a friend, his friend Olness, who lived with us, and me and my girlfriend were leaving, and Sven says, "Oh, what are you guys going to do today?" And we were like, Sven, blonde hair, everything. And we were like, "Oh, we're going to go here and then see a movie." And he goes, "Oh, that's great." And I always say that. I always think of Sven. I hope he's doing well. Hey, Sven. So today we're going to talk about betting. You know, I'm really, if I were a gambling man, that's my favorite expression. I'm a total degenerate. Tom has it in him to be a degenerate. So this is coming from gamblers. This is hardcore. We're in the streets here, right?
Yes, sir.
I mean,
I'm a bookie killer.
I was just going to say, I wish, man, if only we could have Steve Stevens, because we're going to look at some season-long baseball props, and we're going to tell you what we like over-under wins and stuff like that. But I wonder what Steve Stevens would say. Maybe something like this.
Here's what he would say. He would say, "Don't waste your time on the stock market. You can only make 10% a year on that."
Right. When you're gonna tell me, right? You came to me for help, right, Tom? And you want to make money on season long bets? Why would you ever get paid? Right? You could get paid right motherfucking tonight, right? Right there at the cage, right?
1,000%.
1,000%. So you're gonna tell me that we're gonna sit here and we're gonna put in bets that you gotta wait till the end of the season to get paid?
No, sir.
That's crazy. This is America.
Then I can't track you down and get my share.
Right. This is a guaranteed blowout win. I sort of lost my Steve Stevens impression, but I'm not a bookie. I'm a bookie killer. All right. So Steve Stevens, I don't think he would like us making these bets, these long-term bets, because you have to wait. But for us smart people, they're exploitable, and we've talked about it before, that this is the type of thing where there's a lot of data to include in a season-long over-under win total or odds to win the World Series, right? And you agree that this is maybe a place where sports lines could potentially be off a little bit, and you may be able to know enough to overcome the vig here or there. And even if not, it's like a roulette bet, right? It's fun hitting 35-1, even if you're really getting only 37-1 in real life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other part of that, too, is when you're betting on the single games,
You're a fucking degenerate.
Well, especially in the middle of the season, there's much more data that Vegas can incorporate. So I think the lines get better and better as the season goes along.
Yeah.
But yet, in the beginning of the season and even before the season, there's a lot of uncertainty. We don't know how players are going to react to new environments. We don't know how teams are going to perform. We don't know where players are hitting in the lineups.
I heard Ian Desmond gets hemorrhoids in the high altitude. Is that what you mean by react to certain scenarios?
Exactly.
But no, you're right. I mean, I wonder what variables they would like. It's so crazy to talk about. So I sent Tom like a list of the ones that my book that I can actually bet on, and I seriously am going to play some of these bets probably. So
let's do it. We'll pick some, and you are required to put money on them.
I will. Well, I'm going to put money on mine. I'll put money on yours. All right, fine. So we're each going to have two over-under win totals on the season. And but before that, I have some opinions on the home run odds to win lead the league in home runs, all of baseball. Do you have that in front of you?
Hit me with them, baby.
So it's Giancarlo Stanton's the favorite at plus 600. If you bet 100, you win 600, right? So this is the form I'm going to be describing these in. He's the big favorite at plus 600. Then it's Chris Davis and Manny Machado and Nolan Arenado all tied at plus 1,300. So yep. 13-1. Then Chris Bryant, 14. Bryce Harper, 15. Josh Donaldson, Kyle Schwarber, Mark Trumbo tied at 18, and then it drops off from there. Sano, Trout, 2,000 to 1, 20-1, and then the rest are Nelson Cruz, Anthony Rizzo, blah 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 blah. So here are my I think there's some really good prices in here, and one of which on the higher end is Nolan Arenado because he's 25, right? He's entering his prime. Your prime is from 25 to 29, basically. He plays in Coors Field. He's a great hitter. He strikes out a good amount, but he's a great hitter. Maybe that's something you don't want in a thing like this. But then again, you look at his splits. He hits home runs on the road, too. He's hit 41 and 42 home runs in the last two seasons. And I think the guys he's tied with, Manny Machado and Chris Davis, I think he has a better chance than either of those guys, and I don't like Giancarlo plus 600. The other guy, and then I'll get your thoughts, I think is super exploitable. I like the price, is Gary Sanchez at plus 3,000. So you bet 100, you win 3,000, 30 times your bet. He, someone ahead of him is Kyle Schwarber at plus 1,800. They've played the same amount of games, and Gary Sanchez has hit four more home runs than him. Gary Sanchez hit 20 home runs in 59 games last year, and Kyle Schwarber, while an amazing hitter, has 60-something career games and I believe 16 home runs, right? And he's great, but Gary Sanchez is the catcher. He's going to play all the time in Yankee Stadium, right? He's on an AL team, and he just killed it. I like him. So those are my two standouts. Do you have any, looking at this list, that you would like?
Yeah, so just on Sanchez, too, his spray chart, at least from the very short amount of time that he was in the majors last year, plays perfectly at Yankee Stadium.
He's a righty hitter, and his home runs were going opposite, right, to the, obviously, Yankee Stadium's short left porch.
Yep, and then when he pulls the ball, it goes to the pole in left field as well, which is 314 in left field.
I didn't know that part of it. That's interesting.
So Nolan Arenado was actually my pick as well. I think plus 1,300 or so what they're saying is basically 14-1. That's a great value. I totally agree with you. Coors Field, I'm pretty sure, was one or two away from the lead the past year.
Trumbo was 47. He had 41, but he ended up in third place, I believe. He's been in the top five the last 2 years of homers.
Plays every day. He has protection in the lineup behind him in the form of Cargo.
I didn't even think of that as relates to this. If you're going to get pitches to hit, right? That's why Bryce Harper is now plus 1,500. Entering last season, he's probably the favorite, or close to it.
And then I think one other point with Arenado, and I think eventually this is not going to be a point with him, but right now I still think when you name him in the best players in the game, he's in my top five without a doubt. But if you take average baseball fans, I would say he probably doesn't even crack the top 20. The name recognition may not necessarily be there.
So what do you think that you think that matters for a list like this? Like, you think the price is dictated by bets a little bit?
I think it sort of does, because if you get an average baseball fan putting money on this, they're going to put money on Chris Davis or Giancarlo Stanton.
I wonder, do you think lines like this are more influenced, like in the spectrum of them making a line, prediction of the outcome versus the public, what do you think these long bets, like, are they more, are Vegas more likely to move lines based on the public on a long bet like this or on an individual game? I wonder. I don't know, because I think that something like this, if there's a lot of action on one guy, they'll definitely change the odds because they don't want to have to sweat out that guy winning.
Right.
But I really don't know. You know, I can't say, because this has to be somewhat of a prediction. Do you have a guess on which it would be?
I'm not sure. It's an interesting call.
Because I sort of don't think that the public would matter other than that scenario. So it's fair, and I'd agree with you that Nolan Arenado is not as known as he should be, absolutely. But I don't think that plays into these odds being any better, maybe, than they are. But who knows?
I would say my other pick out of this, maybe a little bit further down on the list, would be... actually, two of them. Edwin Encarnacion at plus 3,500. Cleveland is a decently hitter-friendly park. The pitching in that division is horrendous.
Yeah.
Like, the Royals' starting pitching is terrible.
That's a really
good
point,
that
division.
Minnesota's pitching is atrocious.
Right.
And who's even the other team in that division?
The White Sox.
They're horrendous as well. Like, none of those teams, yeah. Like...
I know.
And he's going to theoretically have Michael Brantley hitting behind him. And
yeah,
then
he has a protection. That's a good point.
The one other would be Miguel Cabrera at plus 3,500. Bad hitters park, but he's just one of the best there is.
Yeah, yeah. He's got to fall off at some.
Now,
some people. Oh, go on.
Why is George Springer
plus
2,000?
I have no idea. He's not shown. I mean, he's a good hitter. He's a leadoff hitter. I mean, he hits home runs. He hits like 30, but I don't think I don't. That's not a good price.
Is it the short left porch at Houston?
It must be. It must be, and it must be that they really think maybe this is a case where there's money put on him, and they just move it because, like, maybe a bunch of money can easily influence this because they don't want to sweat it.
So, like, if he was plus 5,000, and then somebody just put $2,000 on him,
right? Exactly. Yeah. Then they'll move it because it's like, oh no, we gotta outweigh this risk, or like make other people. I was thinking also last, and then we'll move on. Like, I don't know. I was weighing Nolan Arenado, who's a really good all around hitter, versus somebody like Chris Carter, even though they're much different odds, or somebody like Chris
Trumbo.
Davis. Let's say Chris Davis, actually, somebody who sells out for home runs. Versus Nolan Arenado. They have the same price, a plus 1,300. Chris Davis has led baseball twice in home runs, and he strikes out to hit him, right? His approach sucks. You hate him. I actually don't know which player I'd rather have for this type of bet. I obviously think I'd rather have Nolan Arenado, somebody who's a good all-around hitter. But what do you think? Would you rather have a guy who just sells out to do this one thing, like Chris Carter?
That's an interesting question, because this is like a very specific outcome, which is just who can hit the most home runs at the end of the year. And
I think as long as they're not at risk of being benched, selling out for home runs is okay.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say, because if you even look at who's led the league in home runs, like last year, Chris Carter, Trumbo in the AL,
Brian Dozier,
yeah, like these guys are just selling out. So if, you know, the end goal is just the total amount of home runs, as long as they're not benched, or as long as they don't, like, pull their quad swinging as hard as they do.
Right.
I mean, that was just kind of a joke, but, yeah. Yeah.
I just totally radioed you. Like, I was just looking and thinking about my next thing, and I wasn't listening. I'm sorry. That was a good joke. As long as they don't pull their quad. Except they can do that. Who did that? Somebody did that. Rougned Odor is the same odds as Chris Davis with a K and Yoenis Cespedes. That's funny. Rougned hit like 30 last year. Anyway.
He had a huge bomb yesterday.
We'll go on. Rougned?
In the USA game, yeah.
He's a little whippersnapper. The field is plus 250. Like, they name, like, 30 guys. I know I didn't go through the list, but the field is, like, including a lot of guys. All right, so let's move on. So next we have the odds to win the division. We don't need to talk about this too long, I don't think, because I don't have any bets that I like here. I dislike the Cleveland Indians at -500. So you need to bet 500 to win 100 on them to win the AL Central. I was telling you off air, I would take that bet. Like, I would easily let somebody risk $1,000. I mean, yeah, risk $1,000 for me to give them 200 if they win, but I wouldn't put that. I wouldn't place that bet because
on the field, yeah,
that's such a and because I hate all those teams individually, like the Tigers, Royals, White Sox, Twins. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, because if you kind of reverse engineer this, this is basically saying that there is around or over an 80% chance that the Indians are going to win the division.
Right, right.
Which I think is a little bit unrealistic. I think even the best team, the Chicago Cubs, I don't think you can say with any amount of certainty that there's ever really a team that has well over an 80% chance to win the division.
I think it's just because the rest of their division sucks, like you pointed out with the Edwin home run. The other odds that stand out to me, actually, I think I may honestly bet on the Red Sox at -175 to win the AL East. You know, the Blue Jays are second at +225 and then the Yankees at +450, but the Red Sox pitching, even though they're going to blow it in the playoffs with David Price, the Red Sox are just so good. I mean, they have three wins every 5 days in the rotation, right?
Well, Price is actually out for the start of the season now with elbow
grease stiffness,
so that's Tommy John signaling.
Okay, well,
not that I mean,
no, that
still
influences
the favorites.
That's still very relevant to my point, though.
But the other thing I was gonna say, and you know, just a disclaimer, everybody knows I'm a Yankees fan, but with that farm system, you know, if they put together a solid start to the season, the Yankees are very much a team in play to go make a big move for a player and, you know, really bolster the roster, whereas the Red Sox don't have the flexibility to do that anymore. So, look, I still think the Red Sox are probably going to win the
division. Yeah, that's such a homer point because the Red Sox are way better. Or like the Yankees would have to make such a big move to do that. Next year, I bet you these odds will be like Yankees +110, Red Sox -150. Like, it'll be much closer.
Sure.
But anyway, so then the, you know, the AL West, blah blah blah. Houston Astros are favored, but Yeah, that's the most wide open. Then the Rangers are second, and the Mariners, and then the Cubs are -750. We don't need to go through them all. So, but that's all that stands out. Now let's go to over under season wins.
Well, one question for you from the who's going to win the division. Do you really think the Dodgers are that much better than the Giants?
Well, they're -185, and so you need to bet 185 to win 100, and the Giants are +175. And no, I don't. I think the Giants are a good bet, although I guess they did address their bullpen. I mean, yeah, I actually think the Giants are a good bet. Like, right. Teams like the Giants and the Mets, the Mets, Nationals have similar odds, where the Mets are +150 to the Nationals -175. I would bet both of them, you know.
Because if you think about it, the Giants, they address their biggest need. And look at that starting rotation. I mean, you have Bumgarner, Cueto, Samardzija, and then Mike Leake. That's a top three starting four
right,
in the league.
Absolutely. And then they have, you know, some stability. Their whole infield is good, right? Their outfield isn't very good. Hunter Pence is going to fall off this year. He looks really bad in spring training. So maybe that's what it is like there. But the Dodgers are also old, too. I mean, they're a very good team. I like that price. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So whatever. Maybe I'll put 100 on the Padres and win 20. That's such a stupid price. +2,500 on the Padres. That should be like, I would lay double that. I would literally pay you 50-1 if you wanted to bet that the Padres win the division.
That's just a sucker bet. I mean,
they should
hoping...
make it more suckerable. The stupid book. I'll be a bookie. I mean, I sort of am a bookie this last week, and I was a bookie. I was getting bets from three people. Bam.
But that's the kind of psychology behind it, right? If you're a Padres fan and you go to Vegas.
It's like, ooh, 25 times my bet.
Yeah, do you really care?
You're right.
If it's 25
no,
to
I don't
1 or
care.
50 to 1?
I'm not. You're absolutely right. I'm not really thinking
right,
about
he,
the pro, yeah.
Even if you hit and you didn't get a good price, you're still happy.
Yes, yes. I don't want to know. Nobody can be putting money on that. Remember that they had the craziest odds were the Heat versus the Bucks in the first round, the first year of the Big Three with LeBron, yep. And you had to bet. I don't. It was insane. I don't remember. I think it was. what would it be, 1,000, 2,000? It was literally like 5,000 to win 100 or something. Yep. It was that insane. Like, they just didn't want anybody to win free money on the Heat. Yep. They had to make the number so big that you would just be a retard for betting on the Heat. Maybe there was some big shot who was like, oh, it's guaranteed money. Like the Russian guy at the poker table who's limping every pot and seeing every flop. Him probably bet on it. But so anyway, so let's go to the over-under season win totals. First, I'll shout out to Joey with his sabermetrics. Joey, our friend, our good friend of the show.
He used to do the picks.
He used to do the picks on the site.
Well, no, he didn't, actually.
Oh, no, sorry. He was the anonymous. Yeah, we just gave away the anonymous guy. Oh, geez. Oh, my God.
Uh-oh.
Oh, we broke his pick anonymity. But so he was picking on Cap Figure. And he likes the Angels over because he thinks they're not going to strike out. They're at 79.5 wins. I think Joey is a mutt and not a good gambler. I love you, Joey. I'm kidding, but I don't think the Angels are good. But just for what it's worth, it's on paper now. Joey's saying bet the Angels.
79.5 wins is a lot.
Well,
for the Angels.
It's a game and a half under 500, right? 2.5 games.
But yeah, I mean,
no, yeah, they suck.
If I had to anchor my expectations for the Angels,
they suck.
I would say they're maybe a 68 win team. So
they suck.
If the line was 70, maybe that's a decent bet.
Yeah, that's very high for me.
But 79.5 is a lot for me.
Right, it's so high that it makes me think I actually have underrated the team. You know, I mean, Joey was telling me before we looked at the number, bet the over on the wins, but he may have thought it like we think that it would be lower. All right, which do you like? What are your picks? Let me say, I bet you they're both going to be overs because you think every team is going to get better every offseason and you don't pick teams to get worse. You're an optimist, not a pessimist.
Okay, that works for me.
If you're not ready, I am.
Well, I'm. This one I think is a little bit of it's kind of a sucker bet, I would say. But I think the Padres at +120 over 66 wins. I don't think they're a great team. They have a couple of good young players, but 66 wins is a very low number. So to me, it almost just seems like a statistics kind of thing. If they're fielding even anything close to an MLB roster, the probability that they will break 66 wins to me is greater than the 45% that would need to hit to make +120.
I like
worthwhile.
That's very smart reasoning. So that's it. We're gonna put these in. Really gonna do this. It's for fun on the season. So. I absolutely respect that reasoning.
The +120 really kind of tips the scales for me.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's very relevant. I lost my pick. Where the hell is it? Okay, so I'm picking the Cincinnati Reds. I like it. I have to lay -135, but they're at 69.5 wins. Yep. And it sucks that I hate it when they do this with these over-under totals that they'll pick a number and then make it – usually, for those who don't know, it's -110 on both sides of a 50-50 bet. But for some reason, it's -135 over and then under is +105, which very much should weigh in your decision.
Yeah.
So I'm picking a favorite here, right? They're saying the Reds are favored to do this. But I think even more than that, because I like their pitching. I like – they have Joey Votto at least, right? They're like – that, like you said, your reasoning with the 66.5 wins, I think a step above that for crappiness is like 70 wins if you're just not horrendous. And I think they have enough to win over 69.5 games.
Yeah, and they're a great team too because they've have players coming back that I think a lot of people just totally forgot about. Devin Mesoraco is coming back.
Yep.
Homer Bailey, who signed, I think it was well over $100 million contract, hasn't pitched for the team.
Right.
He's finally healthy.
Yeah.
Jose Peraza is a great second baseman.
Eugenio Suarez or whatever.
Billy Hamilton has some value.
Yeah, they have pieces. Absolutely.
Adam Duvall.
Brandon Finnegan had some really good games last year. You know, Rafael Iglesias, it can look good. Like I think they can get enough wins out of their pitching and just Joey Votto walking.
Sure. Yeah, I think the only hang up is just that division is very difficult.
And it's -135, but
yes.
All right, so who you go next?
So My next one, I would have to say Seattle Mariners under 85.5 wins, even though it's -120. To me, they just...
They've been in this purgatory the last like couple years where it's like, all right, they have some good pieces, obviously, Cruz and Cano, right? But and then Felix, obviously, and Taiwan Walker and, you know,
he's not
Hiroki.
Even on the team anymore.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, in general, over the last, and then it's still the same story. Like, why do you think under?
Well, yeah, to me, the things you could really rely on in the past couple of years, Felix Hernandez being great, Robinson Cano being one of the best second basemen, or if not the best second baseman in the game, those advantages to me have been eroded greatly. So Felix is no longer an ace.
That's more true than Cano. I mean, his fall off has been steeper than Cano or Cruz's.
But here's the point I have with Cano is he used to be so great at his position that he was just an inherent advantage to every other team because there weren't enough good second basemen in the game.
Ooh.
But now there are a lot of good second basemen in the game.
That's a really good point.
So to me, you know, and
he still was like seventh in WAR last year. I mean, he still killed it.
Right. I just see the rest of that team and the question marks to me are exactly the positions that you want to have strength at: catcher, shortstop, center field. And each of those positions, they don't have an above average player.
Yeah.
The back end of their rotation is terrible.
I was going to say that, I mean, that really, when I'm picking these season long wins, I just, the most predictable thing to me, because Cano and whoever will go in streaks and they'll win games against bad pitching here and there. But like, you know, the starting rotation, even though it's, we forget every year how fickle it is, how you're not going to have the same starters all year. It still feels like the most predictable thing I can sink my teeth into. And like, you know, it makes sense. So I'm down for that. I like the Mariners because I love Cano. I don't know. I just feel like – but you're right. They're like a Stars and Scrubs team, like the Angels, like a better version of the Angels where it's like Stars and Scrubs. Like, so my other pick, I'm torn between these are my candidates, and maybe you can help me decide because I'm actually going to bet on this. I was looking at over Red Sox 92.5, but that's at -125, so I'm not going to do that.
That seems like very high.
Then the Brewers, I think, under 69.5 at -115. They suck. They just suck so bad. They're just so bad, and I think that they're as bad as like they're worse than the White Sox, for example, who have the same over under 69.5.
In a tougher division.
I mean, in a way tougher division, right. Or the Houston Astros under,
that's what I was just going to say,
90.5.
And they're actually on the site I'm looking at now, their over under is pegged at 91.5.
So that's a better price than I'd be getting here though. This is 90.5 and I want to bet the under.
-130 for under.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's interesting to me that in that division, you have the Rangers, the Astros, the Mariners, and the Angels, and you have Houston at 90.5.
The Rangers were my fourth op. I know I'm giving a lot of choices, but this is the only other one I had clicked. Now that you're segueing to them, is 85.5. So the odds makers are. It really is a toss up division. They think they're all going to be right around there, but that the
yep.
Astros are going to be better. But the Rangers over is -110 instead of 120. I guess they're taking 15% VIGs on these.
Yeah.
So which would you have me? Which do you think I should do?
I would say,
let's pick between the Rangers. I want to do a high number. Like, I want to follow a good team now. So either over Rangers or under Astros.
I would go under with the Astros.
And so 90.5. You think that you really think they're worse than that? What on their team is overrated about, like, in that regard? Just that they're in such a tough division?
I think that there are still questions. They're in the tough division. Their bullpen is not very good. They still haven't cemented, really, the back end of their rotation. Dallas Keuchel was a Cy Young Award winner 2 years ago. Was horrible this past year. And, you know, I like the addition of Brian McCann and Carlos Beltran, but... I mean,
those are, again, like, more player away moves almost. Like,
I just think there's a lot of parts that are going to need to click. And you know I like the Astros and have liked the Astros as much as anyone.
Springer's your boy. Correa wets your vagina.
But to me, 90.5 is a little bit high.
But so what? But okay, so clearly you pick the under in the Mariners and you like the under in the Astros. So what's the difference between, at this point, your opinion that the Rangers will win above 85.5 and the Astros winning under 90.5?
Well,
are they the same? Or are you?
I like the Rangers. They have Yu Darvish and Cole Hamels.
Right. That's
Jonathan Lucroy. To me, is a great player. Odor,
right.
You have Beltre.
Nomar Mazara.
Nomar Mazara. They have still a really solid farm system. So, to me, it just seems like the Rangers have performed really well the past couple of years. They have the track record, and they are just not necessarily like a flashy team. So, I know that's a little bit all over the place.
Wait, what does that mean? They're not flashy, so you don't think they'll win more than 85.5 games?
No, I think it's just a team that doesn't get like a ton of attention, and I don't think that they get anything in terms of the public.
Wait, what does this have to do with you?
Oh, no.
I'm asking you, what's the you just said the Mariners are going under and the Astros are going under. So do you think that the winner of the division is only going to win 87 games, or do you think the Rangers are going to obviously win more than 85.5?
Yeah, I think the Rangers are going to win more than 85.5.
And do you think that's equally likely than the Astros winning under 90.5? Because the over bet for the Rangers, I lay 5% less.
Oh, I think it's more likely that the Astros are going to be lower than 90.5 than the Rangers going
over. So you think the Astros could still win the division, like 88 wins or something like that?
Yep.
Okay. So I just think I respect your opinion. I'm just going to bet the Rangers over, actually, instead. I want to do all three. I'm a degenerate. All right. So recap yours.
So recap mine.
You said under.
I had the...
The Padres over 66.5.
Padres over 66.5 plus 120.
Uh-huh.
And then...
You had the Mariners under 85.5.
The Mariners under 85.5.
Minus 120. And I have over the Reds 69.5 at minus 135.
Yep.
And over... Fine, I'll do the under the Astros 90.5. And over Rangers, I did three. I cheated. Over Rangers, 85.5. All right, so we're almost out of time. We got like 5 more minutes. Lastly, on my bookie site, there's these interesting player versus player props. There's only a couple of them, but it's regular season player versus player props. Players must start the season on active roster for action. Regular season stats only. Blah blah blah. If player gets traded, the combined stats from both teams count, and it's the most regular season home runs and RBIs combined. So just add it up. And so, for example, the first one is Mike Trout and Bryce Harper, and the spread on those is 8.5. So Mike Trout is favored by 8.5 homers plus RBIs over Bryce Harper, and they offer them too: Gary Sanchez versus Buster Posey, Miggy versus Rizzo, Abreu versus Goldschmidt, Hosmer Votto, Hanley, Gonzalez. The first one that stands out to me is Gary Sanchez over Buster Posey.
Yep.
And he's at plus 2.5. So that means that Buster Posey is the favorite, and the vig is Buster Posey's favored. I don't understand that. Can you explain that?
I can't. I think it could just be that there are people who think that Gary Sanchez
was just a flash in the pan.
Yeah, too short of a series, or like too short of a sample size, and so they go into it with that narrative. The Yankees are sort of a polarizing team, so maybe a lot of people are just betting against the Yankee. But
well, then also, as we think about this, the bigger part, clearly he's probably very likely to hit more home runs, and the bigger number to make up this number is RBIs, obviously, right? Where is Sanchez hitting in the order? Do you know where they're going to put him in the lineup?
That's still to be determined.
Okay.
It can be anywhere from second to fourth, but I would say most likely he's going
to
hit third.
So second to fourth is still great.
Yeah.
And Buster Posey hits third, I think, still, right?
Yep.
Even if he sucks, he's going to hit third. But their offense is they're equal offenses almost, I would say. Maybe the Giants are a little bit better offense.
Here's the other thing with that to me is in Sanchez's favor is he plays for an AL team, so he can DH when he's not catching.
Yeah, right. Playing time is not an issue. Right.
Right. I'm pretty sure if they're both healthy, I think Sanchez is going to get more at-bats than Buster Posey.
I wonder if they'll baby him. Like, I wonder if maybe a new catcher, they, like, baby him like they do pitchers because he's so good. Who knows? I mean...
Sure, but I'm pretty sure line is weird. Going to keep their bat, that bat in the lineup.
Dude, if I just told you, if you didn't see this, if I just told you this player versus player prop, what would you set this line? I literally think Gary Sanchez is going to win this by 15.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's going to hit 22 home runs and hit 85 RBIs, and Posey's going to hit 300, but he's only going to have like 15 and 85 or something. I don't know. It's going to be close, I guess.
No, I'm with you. I think Sanchez,
I mean,
he had all of the peripherals on his side. Smaller ballpark. I mean,
and he's doing
San Francisco is the worst hitting ballpark. All right, in the
league. So we're gonna put 100. I'm putting 100 on that. And do you any others of these stand out to you?
Well, the one that's sort of interesting to me is, and it almost seems like a sucker bet just because the line is so big. But the Paul Goldschmidt -12.5
over Jose Abreu.
Yeah. To me, I'm
Jose
just...
Jose Abreu sucks.
I'm very down on Abreu.
He me had too.
One really good year, and then he really was not good at all last year.
Yeah,
and
yeah. He literally was a flash in the pan. Like,
the offense he's on is terrible, so
that's
I think
a good
he's going to get less at-bats.
Yeah, no RBIs. I mean, really, the team... RBI is such a stat that is reliant on the team around you. You know, so... I don't know. I mean, yeah, Paul Goldschmidt is like 8 trillion times better player. If it was like a war spread, I would lay infinite points Goldschmidt over Abreu.
Yeah.
But I guess both offenses suck. I don't know, man. 12.5 is a lot.
But I think Goldschmidt's going to get A.J. Pollock back.
Abreu's probably going to hit more home runs, though, than Goldschmidt. But Goldschmidt's just a way better hitter for average and ribbies, right?
Yeah, exactly. But... Yeah, that line being so big is a little bit of a concern.
It's scaring you? How about Cabrera is favored over Rizzo by 2.5? Cabrera had more – he beat him last year in that. But, I mean, Rizzo's in, like, a great offense, obviously. And Rizzo hits cleanup, no?
Yeah, and the RBI opportunities for Rizzo with
right.
Bryant in front of him. Yeah.
It's this is such an interesting like thing, you know. Like, I mean,
yeah,
Bryce Harper versus Mike Trout, 8.5. Like, I would go Trout. Obviously, I think. Would you?
Yeah, and Trout is obviously the model of consistency as well.
Exactly.
So.
But Harper's, you know, his season 2 years ago was like the best I've ever seen since I've been following baseball. He had the best offensive season I've ever watched a player have, and yet last year he just, I mean, he was able to take walks when he wasn't getting pitches, but. I mean, thank God for Daniel Murphy. If it weren't for Daniel Murphy, that's the only chance he has to even come close in this.
So this is how I would go about even looking at that bet. You'd have to put a percentage on what the chance you think that Bryce Harper is going to repeat that amazing year he had. And then, so let's say that's a 30% chance that he has an amazing year.
Right.
You know, I think... The variance is just too much with Harper. I don't think you can get that number up enough to justify even the 8.5. I think it's either going to be
right. Last
Harper
year
is going to be on pace with him, blow him out of the water, or it's just not even going to be close.
Right. Last year, Trout had 100 ribbies and 29 homers. Is that true? Yeah, that's good. Bryce Harper. And... Bryce definitely had less by a good amount. I don't remember. He had 24 homers and 86 RBIs. But in 2015, you know, Harper hit 42 home runs, 99 RBIs. This is fun, a fun like prop. It's like the back of baseball cards.
Yeah, definitely.
So, but you're right, because even in that year, what is that? What's 42 plus 99? This is without Daniel Murphy, though. So that's
141,
and Mike Trout last year, and not he's hit more home runs, had 129. I don't know, man. I quit. So anyway, so that's it. So are you betting on any of these props? I'm gonna bet Gary Sanchez.
I'm with you on Gary Sanchez.
All right. Maybe we should just do Votto just for fun, even though he doesn't hit or he doesn't drive in runs, the cocksucker. Hosmer. I hate Hosmer.
He saved the U.S. last night.
He's on such a bad team. That's like battle of the lumps. Like Hosmer, in a way. Hosmer, who's going to be on such a bad team with no chances to drive in runs versus Votto. The spread is 1.5. Hosmer's favored, but Votto, who doesn't actually make an effort to drive in runs. And Hanley Ramirez favored 12.5 over Adrian Gonzalez. Adrian Gonzalez is going to be pissed and sell out for that. All right, so that's it. Please leave a review. Please tweet at us at the Twitter there. What's your tweet? What's your Twitter? The twat. What's your twat?
Actually, it's interesting you brought that up. It used to be at cap underscore figure,
uh-huh.
But cap figure just came up recently free, so I just switched it. So it's at cap figure.
What do you mean it came up? Somebody used to have it and deactivated it?
Yeah, I thought they were going to try and hold me hostage when this becomes a billion-dollar company.
Thank you, Mr. At cap figure.
Yeah, you guys just lost an opportunity. I would have given you like $10-$15 for it.
You know, you reminded me. I really should email Apple because I bought Apple.com like 50 years ago. I really should contact them. You think they'd buy it from me?
Yeah.
Think they'd give me some money for it?
Apple.com.
Or Trump.com.
Must be nice.
Dude, that's like a crazy guy. That comedian Gallagher who smashes watermelons.
Yeah.
He just buys patents just because he thinks he's going to be able to sell them for money. So he just will buy a patent for something. That's like people buying domain names. It's like, go to play the fucking stock market, idiot.
Well, the domain name, I've read of a couple people.
The domain name game.
Like, they buy politicians and then the year number after it. So it'll be like Cory Booker, who's the senator from New Jersey, will be like Cory Booker 2024.com.
Oh.
That's kind of smart because if it does hit, they need that domain.
But I just wonder, not that many people are typing in web addresses. Like, everybody Googles something. So it's not like when I was first learning the internet and I'd be like, what do I want to look at? Sharks. I remember typing in sharks.com.
That's a good point, too. That is a good point.
But, well, let's buy some domain names. All right, you heard it here first. Booker 2024.
Tweet us in some domain names to buy.
Cap figure. Blah, 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 blah. Bye.